Go with me to 1 Chronicles, chapter number 16, please. Now, for the last several weeks, I have been preaching on faith out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and I still have two more messages that I'm going to bring from that. But this morning, I'm going to divert our attention for this morning in preparation for next week when we have our missions conference. And so I want to bring a message here out of 1 Chronicles. So if you would, go there, chapter number 16, and we're going to begin in the middle. We'll read just a middle portion of this here. If you have a Bible with comments, you'll notice in verse number 7, it begins here, a psalm of thanksgiving for David. This, of course, is prior to the tabernacle being, or the temple being built. In chapter 17, we read about the fact that David wants to build a temple for the Lord, but God withholds him from being able to do so and teaches him that his son will. And we know, of course, by studying scripture that Solomon was allowed to build a temple for the Lord. But just before that, we see a psalm of thanksgiving that I believe is going to be useful for us as we begin to think about worldwide missions. Go to verse number 20, if you would. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 20. The Bible says, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. Now, in this psalm of thanksgiving, David, as he is praying, he is reminding the Lord of the children of Israel that came out of the land of Egypt. And as it teaches here, they went from one nation to another nation, from one kingdom to another kingdom. And that entire time, the Lord made certain that none of the surrounding areas, enemies as they were, they were not allowed to do harm to the children of Israel. But we're going to take this section. And as they were moving, going through on their way to the promised land, we're going to see that they had these interactions with these nations. They had the interactions with these kingdoms. And in verse number 22, it says, saying, the Lord would have said this, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen. His marvelous works among all nations. Now we're going to go on, but let me stop there again. We're thinking about the nation of Israel. We're thinking about here this multitude of individuals as they're moving from one area to another and in the wilderness all of those 40 years and watching the different individuals. You can imagine as they go from nation to nation, as it says, and kingdom to kingdom, they would be going from city to city and they would be looking at these individuals who were not nomads as they were for 40 years. Now they're wandering through the wilderness looking for their own home. And I can imagine the small children, they would embark upon a new city, and maybe the children are thinking, Mom, Dad, is this home? Is this where we're going to make our house? Hey, do we get to stay here? And of course, as they grew, as their mom and dad had grown, they realized, no, this isn't it. This is not the city that we get to stay in. This is not the kingdom that we'll get to participate in. This is not our land. They were nomads looking at those who had been established for many years now. But they have been told that they're to sing forth unto all the earth and show forth from day to day his salvation. In verse 24, they're to declare glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth, the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. This morning I want to bring a message. I've given a very simple title, A Story That Must Be Told. A Story That Must Be Told. We're thinking about missions. We read about a group of people that move from nation to nation. And I want us to analyze just a little bit this morning. I want us to take these few verses and look at them and learn from them a lesson that the Lord still wants us to proclaim. Well, I hope that you'll listen this morning. Brother Hayes, can I have you lead in a word of prayer? When he says amen, I'll have you be seated. Time that we live, if you would, we have each been born into a world that is ever decreasing in its knowledge of God and of the God that created everything that we see around us. It seems at every junction, we find another law that would stand against God's word. We find another decision that has been made by supposedly God-fearing people that runs contrary to the scripture. The Bible speaks about those that know not God, the very God who gives life. Those that would proclaim that there is no God, and of course they're fools in saying so. They do not know the God that gives eternal life. It's ever decreasing, it seems, at every turn of the next page, at every new leaf of the new year. It seems another year is going to pass before us where there are fewer and fewer individuals who will make the decision that they want to be a part of a church that will teach and preach the Bible. There are fewer who will make the decision that they will be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And we in fact find more and more people who at one point in their life, they were excited about the service of the Lord. They had zeal in their step, but now it seems that they're tired. They'll give a myriad of excuses, and we find fewer and fewer people who will stand for righteousness. Amen? Well, we find so many fewer, it seems, every passing year. But now, we come to the understanding that God is the one who you may claim to be your personal Savior. And I trust that you know that. I trust that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I trust that this morning you could tell me where you would spend eternity. You see, God never gave us His Word so that we could play a guessing game as to where we would spend eternity. Amen. The desire for a holy God is for you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The desire of a holy God is that you would come to the realization that before God, you're a sinner. Before God, you're undone. Before God, as the Word of God tells us, before God, I would stand Him undeserving of heaven and quite deserving of hell. But Jesus Christ took my place. I thank the Lord for it. It speaks of the salvation in the Old Testament. Oh, it clarifies it so much, so quickly in the New Testament. The salvation that comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The salvation that only comes by faith in the finished work of what Christ did on the cross. It's not a matter of whether I can be good enough to go to heaven. It's not a matter of whether I can join the right church in order to go to heaven. It's not a matter of whether you give enough money to go to heaven. God doesn't look at any of that. You understand that God isn't asking for your money to get to heaven because He said that the love of money is the root of all evil. Why would He possibly use that as the entrance into heaven? Oh, as a pastor, I'd like to preach it the other way. You give more, you'll go further. Yeah. But I'm constrained by the pages of the Bible. Oh, this morning, if you have no idea where you would spend eternity, please would you listen? Jesus Christ did not die on a cross so that you could play a guessing game. Jesus Christ was not crucified, shed His blood, and give up His own spirit and take your place in hell so that you could say, well, I hope I'll go to heaven. I think I've been a good boy. I think I've been a good girl. I'm pretty sure I've got it taken care of. Jesus didn't die for you to be pretty sure. Jesus died so that you could trust Him as your Savior. And you could say, it's not upon me. It is upon Jesus Christ.
Oh, this morning I could not be any more clear, and I'll say a few more words about it here a little bit later. But here's what I want to get to at this point. If you say, well, I know I've been saved, I know that I'm born again, I have no doubt about it, then God is looking to you to strengthen a world that needs to know Jesus Christ. But how will you respond to the call of God? How will you and I respond? You see, many will ignore His Word. Many will completely ignore it and say, it's not for me. I'm not going to give anything. I'm not going to help in any way. I'm not going to lift a finger. Many will ignore it. Some will want to help, but they don't know why they should. There will be some that would say, I would like to help, but I don't know why I should. Now, please understand what I'm going to say here. I don't want to be mischaracterized. Please understand this. But oftentimes we'll see perhaps on a commercial, a little boy or a little girl who is starving in a foreign country, and they'll be asking for your money to feed the child. I'm not opposed to feeding a child, but if I feed a child and I don't tell them about Jesus Christ, and I don't tell them how they can spend eternity in heaven, and if they don't know Christ as their Savior, then unfortunately, because of the fact that they're as much of a sinner as I am a sinner, if they don't know Jesus Christ, they'll spend eternity in hell. If I feed their belly, but I don't feed their soul, I've done them no good. I've given them a life for 70 years to be compared to an eternity without Christ and an eternity in hell. Oh, understand that there will be some that would say, I would like to help, but I'm not sure that I know why I should. And still others will have every intent to do something, but they will lack the faith to do so. They'll lack the faith. You see, as we embark on our Faith Promise Missions Conference next Sunday, it is by faith that anyone would give to worldwide missions. It is by faith. Where will you fall in one of those categories? And what does it mean if we are to tell the story that must be told? If we look at Scripture here, we look down in verse number 20 as we began reading. It says, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people. Oh, we began thinking that we have a story to tell to the nations. Oh, we have a story to tell to the nations. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write that down. We have a story to tell to the nations. In doing research here for the message, I wanted to find out how many nations are there in our world? How many countries are there? I found that it depends on how you look at it. There's not an exact number. I thought that was kind of confusing, honestly. There's not an exact number. It depends on how you look at it. Some categorize it in this way, and it's in the mid to high 100 range. Others categorize it, and I didn't write them all down, in this way. And then others say, well, if you look at someone who is sovereign in their area, then if we consider them an individual nation, then we would be able to get all the way up to, I believe, 249 individual nations if we look at them in the right way. Now, we, of course, as one nation, have 50 states. Most land masses the size of ours would have 50 categories, but they would be individual nations. As I mentioned in Sunday school, I went over and sat down with the Barwicks. She is from Scotland. He is from England. And I said, I'm sorry, I need to apologize. We had already talked a little bit about school systems in the United States compared to those in other countries. And I say, I can't even believe I'm going to have to ask this, but exactly where is Scotland? I was educated in the American system. You know, my geography is a little weak. And, oh, they laid it out. Scotland's, there's a whole area called Britain. I found out that if you're from England, you're from Britain. If you're from Scotland, you're also from Britain. And if you're from Wales, you're also from Britain. That was new to me. I thought British people just meant that they were from England. But I learned a little bit of a lesson. And so they were talking about it. I said, okay, so you've got Scotland at the top of the British island. And of course, you have a little island over here that has North Ireland that is all part of the English rule. At the top, you've got Scotland. And off to the side over here, a little bitty country called Wales. And I said, so going back and forth between them, do you have to stop at the guard? You know, us Americans, we think everything is the Gestapo police, and you've got to show your papers before you. And he's like, oh no, you just drive across over into Scotland, you don't have to worry about anything. I said, how about over into Wales? He goes, nope, you just drive across into Wales. He said there might be a checkpoint, if I remember right. But they just kind of go back and forth between the countries, as you and I would go back and forth across through the different states, until you get to Kansas and you've got to have a visa. So 249 nations, roughly. I grew up close to Kansas, but I did not live in Kansas, praise the Lord. It looked just like Kansas, but it was beautiful, colorful Colorado. Brown is a color. So, listen, we have a mandate to spread the gospel across every nation and to every people. In Matthew 28, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. As Jesus concludes the book of Matthew. Here it says in verse number 20, it says, from one kingdom to another people. That's what missions work is all about. From one kingdom to another people. We send them from the United States of America. Have you ever met anyone that was sent as a missionary to the United States of America? I have. And you think to yourself, why would a country be sending a missionary to the United States of America? Because the United States of America needs some preaching. Amen. From one country to another people. We're to tell the rich, we're to tell the poor. Oh, the story that must be told to the nations, what a wonderful story it is. We sing the song, Wonderful Story of Love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Oh, that story that must be told to the nations. In Isaiah 66 and verse 19, listen now, it says, I will send those that escape unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles of far off that have not heard my fame. This is God talking. By the way, the Gentile nations were called the isles. Oh, I'm thankful that the gospel came to the Gentile nations. I'm thankful that the Lord said, I will send to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Oh, I'm grateful for the fact that Jesus Christ died for me just as much as He did for the Jew, just as He did for every nation under the sun. God is willing to send them. But who is willing to go? Oh, who is willing to go? As a missionary, as the families that we have that will be here, I am so thankful. Oh, I love the missionary families. I love them dearly. I love the fact that they're willing to uproot themselves and they're willing to go to a country. I didn't ask you, Brother and Mrs. Trell. Do you know the Trells there from Temple Baptist missionary that we support? You all have got, most of you got to have gotten to meet them over in Jordan. Going to a land, to be very, very honest, that of people that the majority of the United States citizens detest them. Those Muslim people. Especially since 9/11. We detest them. And I've told you before, but I'll never forget sitting talking to Brother Trell and the conviction that was all over my heart as he was talking about his love for a people, that Jesus Christ died for them just as much as He did for us American citizens. Oh man, the conviction that settled into my heart, that I realized that there's a man who is willing to take the gospel to a people that we hate as a nation group because of what they've done to us. And I understand, oh, believe me, I understand that it seems that they're overrunning our country at every hand. The Christian holidays or the Christian things that happen are put down in the corner and everything Muslim. Listen, I have no problem with the people, with the religion. I certainly do and I always will because it runs contrary to Scripture. They believe that Jesus Christ was an actual human being, but He was a prophet no different than Moses, no different than Abraham or Isaac or any of the Old Testament prophets. He was just a man. I'll promise you this. Jesus Christ was not just a man. He was the very Son of God. We have a story to tell to the nations. Oh, who will choose to go? We have a story that is salvation. The story is salvation. We see there in verse number 23, look at that. It says, sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day His salvation. The most beautiful story ever told. It's a story of love. It's a story of sacrifice. A story that never grows old no matter how many times it's repeated. In fact, let me read to you. Hey, hold your hand here. I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians 15. Hold your hand there in 1 Chronicles. Go over to 1 Corinthians 15 if you would. I want you to see these verses here. The love, the sacrifice that is being spoken of here. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, as Paul is writing here to the church of Corinth, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, but which also, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye had believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Oh, the gospel. That is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, a myriad. In fact, every other human being on this earth, save but for Enoch that was taken, never saw death. Elijah that was taken in a chariot of fire, never saw death. Every other human being has faced death. But there's never been one that has risen from the dead by His own power. Amen. There have been those that have been risen from the dead by the power of Jesus Christ. But there is none that has ever risen from the dead by His own power. Oh, it's a story of salvation. It's a story that must be told to the nations. But it is a story of salvation. As I said at the very beginning of the message, dear friend, listen, if you're here this morning and you say, I have no idea where I would spend eternity. I don't know if I would go to heaven or if I would go to hell. I promise you, the pages of this Bible are replete with information that He died for your sin. That there is nothing that you could do that is worthy of you going to heaven. Nothing whatsoever. There is no good work. There is no church membership. There are not enough deeds that you could ever do. And I'll promise you, according to Scripture, if you die without having trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Jesus Christ alone, you will stand before a holy God one day and He will ask you, why should I allow you to come into heaven? And He'll turn the pages of the book of life and He'll look for your name. And if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, your name will not be written in the Lamb's book of life. He'll close it. He'll look at you and He'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. And you'll be ushered to the edge of eternity. I can imagine an angel on either shoulder, lifting you up off of your feet and casting you into a lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. Hell and damnation is reserved for those who refuse to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. But yet, a home in heaven is reserved for anyone. I don't care the name. I don't care the creed. I don't care the age. If you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, by faith, Jesus said, I'll give you a home in heaven. Oh, I'm grateful for that. This morning, if you don't know, the story is salvation. If you're here this morning with a question mark in your mind, where would I go if I died right now? Where would I go? I promise you, that's not the design that God had. That's the design that Satan has. But that's not the design that Jesus Christ had when he died on the cross. I've asked it so many, many, many times that I'll ask it again. If all it takes for you to go to heaven is to be a good boy or a good girl, if that's all it took for you to go to heaven, then why did Jesus Christ die on a cross? And even more so, why is it the Bible teaches us, as his soul was not left in hell, why did his soul have to go for even 1 second to hell? If all God's going to do is look to how good you lived your life, you see, that's not what it's going to take. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You'll never get to heaven and say, look at how good I was. Why should I come into heaven, Lord? Why should I come into heaven? Good question. Let me tell you about my life. Why, I was the best. And you start telling God, and he'll look at you and say, why are you talking about yourself? Why aren't you talking about my son?
Amen.
Who died for your sin? Oh, dear friend, I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your church background is. If there's never been a day where you came to the realization that you were lost and on your way to hell, but you said, dear Lord God, I am so sorry. The godly sorrow that the Bible speaks of, that repentance, that godly sorrow that, Lord, I have offended you. And dear Lord, I do not deserve the gift of heaven, but Lord, I want to go. And by faith right now, the pages of this Bible tell me about the Son of God, your Son that died for my sin. I will receive him as my Savior. Oh, please, would you give me salvation? And the very moment that you utter that prayer, God opens your heart, places salvation inside, Amen. Closes it, and no one can steal it from you.
Amen.
Salvation is yours for all of eternity, and it's all by faith. It's not by works. Oh, the story is salvation. But we go on as we read some of the other verses. Look down at verse number 24 and 5 and 26. We're back over there in 1 Chronicles now. Chapter 16, verse 24. Declare unto his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Listen, the third thing, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down, the responsibility is ours. The responsibility is ours. Declare his glory among the heathen. The responsibility is ours. God could have chosen his angels to spread his word. God has angels at his beck and call to do anything that God would want for them. He could have orchestrated it and said, I want these 10,000 angels that we sing about. He could have called 10,000 angels. I want you 10,000. I want you to go to that earth, and you're going to live for 2,000 years, and you're going to go from city to city, and you're going to, in your white glory. Angels don't have wings, so they wouldn't have wings. I'm going to have you go, and you're going to tell the glory of Jesus Christ. God could have decided that, but he didn't. He didn't choose to have the angels. He could have had one of the Old Testament saints live for hundreds of years telling the old story. He could have allowed Paul, perhaps the greatest evangelist that ever lived, to remain alive until the very day of the rapture, declaring Jesus Christ to all the sinners. But he didn't. The responsibility is ours. It falls squarely upon our shoulders.
Amen.
There is no one else that's going to tell the story. Let Billy Graham tell it. We should never try to shirk our responsibility off onto anyone.
That's right.
Let the preacher tell it. Oh, I promise you I will.
Amen.
But it's not my responsibility to bear.
Amen.
It's all of our responsibility. We have a story to tell to the nations. The story is salvation, and the responsibility is ours. He chose you and me. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Listen to the verses in Romans. You're probably familiar with it. Romans chapter 10, in verse number 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is, over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Are we willing to send them? Are we willing to send them? You see, the responsibility is ours. Coastal Light Baptist Church has a responsibility. Brother Dave could tell you that from the very first day that I got here. I said, I can't wait till the day that God allows a young man, maybe a young couple, to decide we want to do something for the Lord. Maybe start a church on the other side of Charleston. For years there wasn't a good Bible preaching church in Mount Pleasant. For the majority of years that I've been here. Just about 2 years ago now, finally a church started over in Mount Pleasant. Man, praise the Lord, that's great. But there are a lot of areas of this city that there is no good Bible preaching, born again, blood washed, devil hating Baptist church. There are a lot of areas. Oh, I'm not trying to be the pastor of Charleston. I can't wait to the day that we get to see a young man raise up and say, I want to do something for the Lord. I can't wait. I love the fact, Brother Mrs. Kasavi, I love the fact that several years ago they said, listen, Pastor Sears, we would like to place our membership right here. Man, praise the Lord. Finally, Coastal Life, we have our own missionaries. They weren't originally sent. Oh, they're going back to Kenya, from Kenya. Just a little over 2 years ago, when I received a phone call from Brother Childs, he had been friends of our family and our church for so long, and he called me and said, Pastor, I want you to start praying about something. The church that we're members of, he said, there's some things I can't stand behind, and we're praying about where to have our membership. I said, man, brother, absolutely, I'll pray with you about that. He called me one day and he said, Pastor, we would like to put our membership at Coastal Light. I promise you, I took that phone call. I sat down at the kitchen table. I began to cry. I said, Brother, I don't know why in the world you want to join here. I don't know why you want me to be your pastor. But praise the Lord, now we have another missionary family, members of our church. They've never even been here. The worst members we've ever had. They never show up. The commute is too long. China's not that far. Just come through the middle of the world. Missionaries in China, man, praise the Lord. I sent him a text. His birthday was on Friday. I sent him a text message. Haven't even heard back from him because he's in Western China. I don't even know if they know what phones are over there. I don't know. He gets no kind of communication when he's out in the Western area of China. Man, praise the Lord. We get to send them. The responsibility is ours, but let's not stop there. I'm grateful for the missionaries that we're going. I'm glad that we get to have the Benbrooks back here. I'm glad that we get to love on them again. 7 years ago they were here. Now they're back again. Most of you didn't even get to meet them. Most of you are new since then. Man, praise the Lord. They'll get to meet new faces. They'll have forgotten all of your faces. They've forgotten mine too, I'm sure. But we get to love them again.
Amen.
We get to have a missionary family just starting out. The Benbrooks. We were, I believe, their first missions conference 7 years ago. Now we get the Owens, and we're not their first missions conference, but they've not been going at this for very long. I want them to know. I want them to know. There's a church that we love you. Listen, we're going to give things to you, but we're going to pray for you. We're going to love you. It's our responsibility to send them. The third thing I want you to see here out of the verses as we look at it, it will get done by offerings. Look at verse number 29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. An offering is different than the tithe.
Amen.
The tithe is 10%, one-tenth. The Bible teaches about the tithe. The offering, faith promise, is not your tithe. Supporting worldwide missions is not your tithe. The tithe goes to the local storehouse. The offering is that which we will take and we'll say, we're going to send this outside of our local storehouse. We're going to send it to another family. That's what the offering is. The offering is, you know what, Lord, I love you so much. I've been willing to give my 10%, Lord, because you've told me to. And, oh, when you make the decision to do that,
amen.
How God blesses you.
Amen.
Well, folks, if you only knew.
Amen.
And then you make the decision, I'm going to give beyond the 10% that God has commanded me. I'm going to give an offering. And God begins to bless you more. You may say, well, I've been giving and I've not seen my bank account increase. God may not bless you in a bank account.
Right.
Remember, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Right.
Why would His greatest blessings be financial?
That's right.
If that's our biggest problem. I don't know how God's going to bless you. I know this, we could give testimonies for the rest of the day as to what God has done in our life. And many times we could probably attribute it right back to the day that I decided either to start tithing or the day that I started to give to worldwide missions. The responsibility is ours. And it's going to be done by offerings. It will be done by offerings. The last thing I want us to see, if we look down to verse number 30, in verse number 30 it says, fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. The world shall be stable. The world. Oh, the world must be told. If you're taking notes, write down in number 5, the world must be told. We have a world that is lost and dying. It begins right here at the front step of Coastal Light Baptist Church. It goes throughout all of West Ashley. It moves up into the areas of Somerville, down to Charleston, in the downtown Charleston, in the south areas of, or in the areas of South Carolina, perhaps maybe even in North Carolina. It moves into the New England states and it moves out west and it jumps 2 oceans and it moves across every known and unknown tongue and culture across the world. Nearly every missionary letter I get, unless they're missionaries to an area that already speaks English, or if they are going to a country in which they already know the tongue of the land, nearly every missionary, pray for our language studies. Pray for our language studies. Children pick it up like that. Oh, but us adults trying to learn a new language. And they say, oh, would you pray? You see, it goes to every known and unknown tongue. Boy, I'm grateful for those who are willing to say, I will learn Arabic. Brother Trill. Oh, he said, man, the girls, I have a video that of the Trills and their family that I'm going to show during the conference. I want you to see that. And each one of the girls, they say something in Arabic. He says the girls pick it up so easily. But Jocelyn and I, oh, it's always a struggle, you know. And you know, he's talked before about, he'll say something and people will start chuckling. And he realizes I said the wrong thing, you know. I put the wrong emphasis on the word and it means something completely different. I would hate to learn the English language. English language, if we didn't grow up speaking it, you scratch your head. For some of you who did learn the language, English was your second language, you go, man, what? The rules don't apply to everything. They're exception to the rules, and we learned it growing up in grade school. Oh, but the world must be told. It will only be God that stabilizes our world. But listen, it will only be God that stabilizes our world, but He will use you and me every time. Because God always uses a man. I've said before, I didn't mention it a bit ago, but I said before, God could have decided that He was going to give speech to sheep. He gave speech to a donkey once. He could give speech to sheep and it would be nothing uncommon to us that the sheep run all across the world. Ah, can I tell you about the Lord? I don't know. I don't know how they might talk. All of a sudden there's a knock at the door. It's no sheep again. I hope they clean up after themselves. Could you imagine? It would not be uncommon to us if that's how God had chosen to do it. But He chose you and me. He chose at times the most unreliable sources.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But the world will not be shaken. The world must be told.
Amen.
The strength, as it says, look at it in verse number 30 again. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable. You know, we've got a lot of people that don't want God in any part of their life. You know Christ is your Savior. Could you imagine a world without God? What that world would be like. Those that believe in evolution, why, if evolution were real, if evolution were true, morality would not exist. There's not a bear in the forest that has morals. If that bear is hungry, he doesn't care what it is. He'll eat it. There's not a serpent that ever pop its head out of the ground that has morals. I grew up on that farm. I never once met a rattlesnake that was a moral rattlesnake. No. Our morality and everything that we know comes from God. These people that they don't want God in their lives. If we could isolate them and put them in an area that God did not exist, they would beg. Oh, wait. There is such a place. It's called hell. And one day they'll beg. Oh, I don't want that to be you. I don't want that to be you that is begging to get out of the place that God does not exist. But let's not be willing to let someone else go there just because we're not willing to send them. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray today that You would help us to see the reality of a need to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Oh, dear Lord, would You please help us to do what we should. Lord, it might be this morning, as I had mentioned at the beginning, that there would be someone here that doesn't know where they would spend eternity. Lord, it might be that there is someone here that their heart is pounding even right now, saying, I don't know where I would go. I have no idea. Oh, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would be very, very real to them right now. Lord, that they would understand that they, if they would allow someone even today, that we could show that person how they could trust Christ as their Savior, how they could be born again, how their eternity can be sealed forever, not because they came to this church, but because they trusted Christ. Oh, Lord, I pray for that person. It might be, Lord, that there is someone here that You're dealing with their heart as far as giving to worldwide missions. Oh, Lord, I pray You would help us to realize that the responsibility is directly upon our shoulders. And Lord, I don't ever want to be accused of sending someone to a place that God does not exist, all because I was not willing to do something to make sure they were told. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let me ask you a simple question. Please listen to the question. Please listen. This morning, if you say, Pastor Sears, I remember the day that I got saved. You talk about going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven, not because I'm a good person, because I realized at one point my good works will not get me there. But I remember the very day that I trusted Christ as my Savior. I remember the day I bowed my head. I remember the day that I asked Him into my heart. Is that you this morning? Would you slip your hand up all across the auditorium? I know I'm saved. I remember that day. I remember it. Oh, I know I'm saved. You can put your hands down. Listen, if you didn't raise your hand, could I ask you, would you allow someone to show you from Scripture today? We'll take you just to one of the rooms on the side. We'll have someone sit down with you in a Bible and show you how you can know. Please don't live another day. Please don't live another hour with a question mark on your lips. Where would I spend eternity? That's not why Jesus died, so that you could play a guessing game. Oh, please, would you allow someone? Maybe that's you this morning. You would have to say, Pastor, I don't know where I would spend, but I would like to know. That's me. Would you slip your hand? No one is looking. Please, no one else looking. Would you slip your hand up, or even right now? I would like to know. I would like to have someone show me today. I would like to have someone Help me to know Christ. Let me ask one last question. How many this morning would say, I will promise, I'll promise the Lord that I will pray and ask Him, what should my part be in missions this year? Would you slip your hand up? Mine is up. Will you pray and say, Lord, what is my part in missions this year? Well, I thank you for that. Lord, you've seen our hearts. Dear God, I pray that you would, Lord, that you would do battle against our flesh, dear Lord. An area that we've spoken of today that oftentimes, Lord, we're reluctant to be involved in. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see that we must. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to allow us to do your work. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.